Aloha, I'm Butch Finley, and welcome to this DKI APCSS podcast on how to deal with complex problems. Over the next few minutes, what we want to talk about are these things. What are some of the implications of the notion of complexity for developing a strategy to deal with a problem? How do you do that? What is the process that you use to develop a strategy? And then finally, what's the relationship between communication and strategy in a complex environment? This is the part most of you like to deal with, is how do we solve the problem? So I want to start off by disabusing you of the notion that you will solve a complex problem. The historian Elliot Cohen, in his book Supreme Command, came up with this observation after looking at great national strategists across centuries of time. The notion of victory, an end state, solving the problem is a chimera. It's a vision that has no substance. But rather, what you can hope to accomplish is a series of small victories, small steps that give you a better solution than you started with. Not exciting, not what you want to tell your boss, not what your boss wants to hear, but this is reality. Let me show that diagrammatically. You've got a problem, problem A. And you do some things and you come up with some actions that you think will help change that problem, help solve that problem. And you do some things and you start to do more things along your strategic vision, your direction that you think things need to go. And over time, A changes into B, problem B. Have you solved problem A? I don't know. You definitely have a different problem, problem B. If you think about U.S. military involvement in Iraq, it started before the invasion that toppled Saddam Hussein. It continues through today through many problems. We're not on problem B, we're on problem C, D, or E, depending on how you count it. Okay, so we don't solve complex problems. Success can be thought of as, is your current problem B better than the problem for you than the problem you started with? Okay? Let's review complex adaptive systems to make sure we understand what it is we're trying to work with in addressing a complex problem. Complex adaptive systems have multiple interdependent factors, sometimes called multi-mindedness. These factors are connected to each other in multiple ways. One of those ways is through feedback loops. Very simple one shown here. The white circle changes the blue circle, changes the other blue circle, which then changes the white circle. So white has changed white. Simple little diagram, but not often found. What we tend to find are much longer, more convoluted feedback loops that may take days, weeks, months, or years to complete and may go through not 10 or 15 factors, but 100 or 200 or 1,000. Okay, very difficult to see. Complex adaptive systems have unpredictable results because of all of the actors making their own decisions, because of the feedback loops. We simply cannot predict how the system is going to react in absolute certainty. Okay. It's an ever-changing system, highly dynamic. Having said that, it does present emergent patterns over time. The system acts within certain parameters most of the time, and you can use that as good enough for saying, this is how I can expect a broad result to look like. Okay. When you're thinking about strategy in complex systems, where does your strategy connect with and influence that system? Because that's really what you're trying to do, is influence the system that's creating the problem you have. One of the places that you can do that is with the factors. What are the elements, the nodes, the circles on this diagram? How does your strategy connect to those? Well, you can add or delete. For example, in an international relations system, you might add a new embassy. Or you might create a new development fund for international financing. Those put new circles in the system. You can also interact with the interactions of the factors themselves, the arrows in this diagram. For example, you can delay the shipment of a promised military hardware delivery. That changes the arrow. You can increase the press coverage of an interaction between factors, thereby increasing the importance of that factor, or downplaying the factor if you want to. So you can interact with the interactions among the factors. You can also look at the rules that govern the system. Every system has rules. Think about a code of conduct. Think about the your constitution in your country. Think about treaty rules. Everything, all the systems have rules, and you can try through your strategy, typically in concert with others, to affect the rules governing the system. And then finally, you can attempt to change the goals of a system. Okay? Every system has a purpose. It exists to do something. And those goals are pretty hard to change, but they can be changed. Give you an example of ASEAN. ASEAN was created with a goal of being information sharing and a confidence building mechanism for its member states. That was its goals. It's now morphing and trying to add to those goals an additional goal of managing problems between neighbors, between member states. Very different goal than in the past. So your strategy can look at what are the goals. Okay? Very often when we have a problem, I use this little purple dot as signifying a problem within the system. We see something we don't like, and we look at it and we say, you know, here are the three most important factors that cause that problem. These are the root causes of this issue. If we fix those three, then we'll have the problem solved. What we forget are all these other interactions. And again, the system doesn't involve 30. It involves 300 or 3,000 different factors. Okay, so what I'm saying is when you think about building a strategy, disabuse yourself of the notion of root causes and end states. These are dynamic. As soon as you achieve what you think is an end state, the system's already changing. Okay, and there are no places on here where you can point and say, this factor or this couple of factors cause everything to happen. They're all interdependent. Okay, so we say it's better if you build a strategy to manage the system, not the factor, not the immediate problem. You don't try to address the immediate problem, you try to address the system that leads to the problem. Okay? Typically when we talk about developing a strategy, we talk about some sort of cycle. You may have know the military decision-making model. You may think about problem-solving process. Those are all linear. You start with seeing a problem, you think about the problem, you come up with some action ideas, you take the actions, you see what the result, and you start back over and you run in this cycle to see what, to address and solve the problem. I don't think that's appropriate for complex problems. I think we need to think in terms of activities that go on continually, simultaneously, and interdependently. You do all of these things all the time, okay? Now let's talk about just the notion of assessment. You do need to understand what's going on. You have a problem. I'm going to build my example in this case around traffic congestion in Honolulu as a problem that I've got to deal with, okay? What I'm trying to accomplish with my assessment is coming up with a strategic vision on how I would address and make this problem better. Okay? I have to know all of these things. You have to know what's the context of the problem with all of the various factors that you see there. You have to know what the system is on the right. What are the elements, the processes, the interactions, the goals that are behind traffic congestion? Cars don't just congest on their own. There's a system to that. And I need to understand what it is I want. I'm not going to eliminate traffic congestion unless I eliminate cars. Okay? What's an acceptable goal? What's a better goal? What's a defined outcome that I like? Okay? Now, I did some brainstorming and I did some analysis and I came up with this diagram of the problem. And you see lots of connections among many different actors. And one thing I'd point out here is when you do this, you need expert input. You, as someone who does not live in Honolulu, would not understand that the local culture here is heavily dependent on private schools. The quality of local schools, in some cases, isn't as good as people like, so they put their kids in private schools. That creates commuter school traffic. That adds significantly to traffic congestion. You wouldn't know that as an outsider. So when you're thinking about your problem and trying to understand it, get real good expert opinion, okay? To help you clarify the problem and understand it, a good tool to use is to frame the problem. That is to apply a particular perspective that helps you understand the fundamental nature of the problem. What are the boundaries, what's in and what's out, and what are the main factors that are involved? And I did that with my little example, and I said, there's three ways to look at this, at least, that I can think of off the top of my head. One is it's an urban planning problem, and the key factors are the ones you see in green. The second way to look at this problem is, no, this is an infrastructure problem, and the most important factors are those shown in orange. A third group looked at it and said, no, this is an economic problem, and the factors in blue are the ones that we really ought to pay attention to. These are all right, they're all partially wrong. Depends on what you're trying to accomplish. You want to find a frame that helps you understand what you need to focus on to get the result you want. It also helps you understand what other people are thinking so that you can, in fact, talk with them better, understand where they're coming from, and perhaps collaborate better together. Okay? One of the ways to do that is to reframe your issue, reframe your problem. I looked at my traffic congestion and it said, it's not those three. It's a different frame. It's a different kind of problem. It's a problem of tourism, of supporting tourism. Tourism is a huge industry in Hawaii, and traffic congestion affects that. When I did that, when I started looking at it in this new frame, some new factors came up that I would not have thought about. Up in the top left, you see tourist appeal. We want tourists to want to come to Hawaii. Traffic congestion doesn't help that. Same thing on the lower right. I thought through and said, you know, the quality of our local schools is impacting the quality of the workers that are dealing with the tourists. That impacts tourism, something we ought to consider. You wouldn't have thought of those things if you just thought about a highway with a bunch of cars on it. Okay? As I said, you're trying to come to a strategic vision, a strategic direction. What is the way that you see ahead to try to influence the system to get the result you want? Now, the result you want is often dictated by policy. In my little example, the mayor of Honolulu may come in and say, I want to support light rail as a way to reduce traffic congestion. He's just said, that's a desired change that I want, light rail. So I have to build that into my strategy as I think that through. Your strategic vision, your frame in part, will also help you understand what are the priorities among the frames that are available and the key factors that you identify. If you look and you say, I want to improve light rail, then you may or may not be thinking about a again, a historical example as our historical frame as particularly useful. Okay? I came up with this strategic vision for my little traffic example. It shows a frame. This is a tourism problem. It shows a couple of key factors, number of cars on the road and improvement in local school quality. Shows some actions that I might want to take, but I'll get to more of that in a moment. This gives me a direction that I want to move. It's not a roadmap. It's not a detailed plan. It's a broad definition of how we want to approach the problem. Okay? Now, you design a set of actions. And again, remember, all of this is going on simultaneously. From the very moment you see a problem, you start to think about what actions you want. In fact, that's what you guys as security practitioners love to do. See a problem, fix it. Okay? You do need to go through these other steps to think about what am I really trying to accomplish and what the action that I say I want to do, will it really help? Okay? You want to consider not just the key factors, but you also want to consider those characteristics of a complex system that I talked about. Yeah, you got a lot of factors, and you need to take that into account. But you also have the interactions, you have the rules, and you have the goals. All of that can be changed through your strategy. Finally, you want to accept the fact that there is no right answer. There's no set of actions, there's no strategic direction that will guarantee success. Complex problems have unpredictable results. That doesn't mean you can't do things, it just means you have to understand that at the end of the day, it's an art, not a science. Okay? I came up with these actions that you see on the slide for my little traffic example. I'll give you a half a second to look at them. They're not that important. They're just some examples of concrete actions that can be taken. Again, some of these you would not have thought of if you were not an expert in traffic in Honolulu or if you were not local to the culture. Okay? Here's another quote that I think you ought to keep in mind. Yanir Bayam, in his book, Making Things Work, made the observation that complex systems, by their nature, have more bad states than good states. Now, there's good things going on in any condition. There's almost always something that you would like to retain. He says we ought to pay attention to that and make sure that we do as much to stabilize a complex system as we do in changing it. The best example I can think of is the U.S. invasion of Iraq, where we said the strategic goal was regime change. And we assumed, as a national strategic assumption, that society would be stable without the leadership of the Ba'ath Party. That turned out to be horrendously wrong. Okay? We did very little to provide stability, and as a result, we had a catastrophic failure in strategy. Okay? We have a saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think that captures what Bayam is getting at. In every situation, there's good stuff going on. And you want to make sure that you support that good stuff and keep it going on while you adjust the system, not solve the problem. You adjust the system to manage the problem. Okay? You have to look very, very carefully. Everything you do will have a second and third order effect. It will ripple through those feedback loops in ways that are almost unpredictable. But you can look and say, this will probably happen, and be aware. Okay? Now, as you're thinking about how you time your actions, there's some thoughts that you might want to keep in mind. You want to understand what's going on in terms of the key factors that are important to you for the problem you face. I'm going to use, again, my traffic example. One of the key factors I see as important is legislative support. That changes over time, like all key factors. It's a dynamic system. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. Your analysis will give you an understanding of where it is at a moment in time. Some of the other factors I'm concerned about, I want economic activity to be up to pay for my projects. I want traffic accidents to be lower, out of the way, and I want crimes against tourism to be down so that I get that tourist appeal that I want. And I also think that I can manage a lot of social media noise in support of my strategy. So I look at all of that and I say, there's a window in time when I can make a decision so that I can take advantage of all of those trends and be in a good place to take advantage of those trends for an extended period of time. Okay? Talk a couple minutes about communications and strategy. The common approach to this is we build a strategy, and if we think about communication at all, we put it in some buried annex or in a totally separate plan somewhere and don't really connect the two. Or we wait until there's a media uproar or our boss is demanding answers, and then we say, oh yeah, we need to think about communication. Let me give you an alternative approach, one I think is more appropriate to complex systems, and that's to build communication as a integral, continual, and repetitive part of your strategy. Okay? You have to do this all the time. Okay? Why? Why is I say communication is so important? You have to understand the system as it emerges. You will not know everything. You have to talk to other people, get lots of opinions to figure that out. Okay? You want to affect changes in the rules and the goals, you're not going to do that by yourself. You're going to have to build support. And the last two are the ones I think most important. You communicate to build political will for your strategic vision. From the beginning, from the outset, you're constantly trying to ensure that people support what you want to do. You also want to ensure that they support what you are doing as you suffer setbacks and delays in execution. All of that implies a lot of communications being thought of as you go through the process. Talk to lots of people, okay? This doesn't mean you have to have a town meeting and you have to have a stadium full of folks. You can talk to lots of people one-on-one, small groups, etc. But you want a lot of perspectives, a lot of different ideas. That's good. Now, the downside that you have to be aware of is lots of people can also run into a mob mentality, groupthink. You can see where there's a coalition around one idea that may or may not be right, but everybody's thinking that way. You used to see that, and still do sometimes, see it in the form of a physical mob out rioting in the streets. Just as often now, you see it in terms of a virtual groupthink spiraling out of control on the social media. You need to be aware of that and deal with it in a very sophisticated communications way. Okay? What we've talked about over the last few minutes is how you deal with a complex problem, not how you solve it. Some of the implications of complexity for your strategy. No root causes. No end state. You want to manage the system, not the outcome you want. And you want to understand that developing a strategy is a continual and simultaneous process of understanding, acting, and communicating. And that communication is a vital and integral part of your strategy. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope this has been useful. Aloha.